You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no other announcements, the scripture reading is in Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so ye walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
It's been a rough December in a lot of ways. I'm kind of looking forward to the new year and all that it has to bring. Of course, I got a couple of comments about that. We'll look at that, or I'll cover those in just a second. Let's go ahead and begin with prayer. Father, we do pause here to thank you for your goodness. You have been good to us this year. Goodness in a way, Father, that the human nature sometimes doesn't understand, certainly can't comprehend, and often rebels against. But you have been good to us. You know only one way to be towards us, and that is good. You're the giver of every good and perfect gift. And Father, we thank you for that. We're thankful that as we ponder on that verse in James, that you have no variableness in you, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, past, present, future. And we are thankful for that. We're thankful for your faithfulness to us. We're thankful that you've met every need that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray now, Father, as we end this year with this study in Colossians, we pray that your Spirit be the teacher, that you meet each heart need. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, it is the end of the year. In a couple of days, we'll all be saying Happy New Year and enjoying every minute of it. There's Marquita. Hi there. Come on in. Some of us will look back at 2007 and we'll say it's a bad year. And it has been a bad year in some ways. Some of us will look back and say it was a good year, and it was a good year in some ways. But honestly, it was good and bad, and every year is good and bad. 2008 won't be any different. It'll have its ups, it'll have its downs. And we shouldn't really put appreciation in the year in our circumstances, because rest assured, they'll be good, they'll be bad. Yeah, I always like to use that illustration. I've used it before of Charlie Brown. He's on the cruise ship, and in the first show, or in the first panel, it shows people on the cruise ship sitting in the front of the ship, and they're looking out towards where they're going. And then the next panel shows people sitting in their deck chairs in the back of the ship looking out where they've been. And in the third panel, it shows people sitting on the side of the ship in their deck chairs looking out where they are. And then the fourth panel, it shows Charlie, and he's all wrapped around his deck chair, and he's just trying to get it undone. He doesn't care where he's going or where he's been or where he is. He's just trying to get the chair set up. I find myself that way a lot of times. Still trying to unfold that deck chair. Well, we shouldn't put our happiness or our joy in our circumstances. Our circumstances are going to be up and down all year long, one way or another. And so what we need to realize is how important it is to put our joy in Christ. And this passage speaks of it. Now, everybody's going to make New Year's resolutions. Have you already got yours figured out, you know? I'm going to be nice, think good thoughts. I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to work harder. Or you're going to have some more lofty goal, like I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to read it through once this year. I'm going to push it even further. Or I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. New Year's resolutions are always broken. They're never kept. I've got two New Year's resolutions I'm going to show you in Scripture here. And I think they're more important than any New Year's resolution you could make. And I hope you see them as well as I do. In Colossians chapter 2, let's turn to the Scripture and let's look at them. The very first one is in verse 4. My New Year's resolution is not to be beguiled. Colossians 2, 4. And Paul says, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. You know what that word beguile means? Deceive. It's deception. Remember Nathanael? Andrew's brother, there was a man there, Jesus said, who had no guile. He was not a man who'd deceive anybody. You remember Eve? Eve was beguiled. She was deceived. She was deceived not so much from the point of view of her own complicity. She was deceived by the seduction of the serpent. Let's go over there and look at that real quick. And maybe this will help us understand, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives us an explanation of this. We get deceived sometimes because we get deluded. And we get deluded because of what we have within ourselves. Paul says to be careful. Don't be beguiled with enticing words. Easy to be done if we don't have an answer for enticing words. There is an answer, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see in verse 3, I fear. Paul writing to these believers in Corinth, he says, I fear for you. I fear by any means as a serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his what? His craftiness, or his, as the authorized verse says, subtlety. His subtlety. But craftiness. We're not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. By the cunningness, Paul writes in Ephesians, Eve was deceived by the craftiness. The craftiness. And what did that attack? It's the mind. It's so that your minds then are corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's so easy to have done today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It is so easy today. You heard the story about the Archbishop of Canterbury. This man spoke last week, or maybe it was within the last 10 days, and he began to say things like, well, I really don't think there are three wise men. The only account in Matthew doesn't say how many. And he doesn't call them wise men. I mean, he calls them magi. They're magicians. And it really doesn't say that they were in the manger. So really, when you see these nativity scenes of the baby Jesus and the shepherds, you really don't know if the wise men are there or not. I don't have much problem with that, honestly, because I believe that the wise men, the magi, came 2 years later. But boy, what a ripple it sent throughout Christianity. You know who this Archbishop of Canterbury is, like the top guy in the Church of England. In the Anglican group, he's, you know, what he says is, it's said. He went on to talk about some other things. But it is easy then for the world to pick up this deception that something's wrong and something's amiss with Christianity. And that's what the devil did. That's how he beguiled Eve. Hath God said? Well, then the confusion begins. Well, how can this happen to us? Well, I think it happens because look at verse 13 of the same chapter in 2 Corinthians. Verse 13 says that they're false apostles. They're deceitful workers. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. Well, wait a minute now. You know, when the world comes at you, it's pretty obvious to see that. But when they come at you as workers of Christ in the religious realm, it's a little more difficult to see. You got to be a little sharper. You got to be on your toes. You got to be prepared for the warfare. You got to watch out and have your shield up so that you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. You're not to be misled by his wiles. He goes on in verse 14 and says, and no marvel about these false apostles. He says, no marvel, for their leader, Satan, himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Oh, now see, now that's the clue. That's the clue. You know, there's a commercial on TV today, and I think it's IBM. This guy opens up a door, and he looks into this dark room. He reaches over and switches on the light, and all these people are laying on the floor. And he goes, what are you all doing? And some girl says, we're ideating. I hope some of you have seen this. Because, I mean, if you haven't seen it, then, you know, it really... he goes, what's ideating? Well, we're trying to think of new ways to approach the problems. Oh, are you having any successes? No, we haven't ideated that yet. And he goes, well, okay, good luck. And he turns the light out and shuts the door. And then this great big letters come up and says, stop thinking. And it goes away. And then big letters come up and says, start doing. Yeah, that's the problem Christians have today. And that's why they're deceived by so much. James said it this way. He said, don't just be hearers of the word, deceiving your own selves, but be doers of the word also. Well, one of the ways to do that is to understand what he just said. He said, their end shall be according to their works. Take a good look at what they're doing. They're not doing anything. They're all laying on the floor ideating. They need to be doing and quit thinking. Go to 2 Peter. Here's another picture of these false apostles. And you want to pick up on them? It'd be popular for me today to maybe even mention a few. It'd be popular today to even drag a few of them out and beat them up and thrash them around a little bit. I don't know if that's really such a good thing to do. I kind of wonder if we're not, you know, gosh, you know, angels don't even bring a railing accusation against dignitaries. We're supposed to pray for those that are, quote, in authority. Now, that's a government position, but in the church, I mean, how much more should we not pray for those people who are professing Christianity? God's not going to be caught off guard by them. And if they're successful in what they do and it's an error, then they'll be failures. Definitely. They're not going to hinder what God's plan for the ages is in one way or another. They won't even be able to bring it on and, you know, bring it early, push it back late, delay it for a moment. They'll have no bearing at all on that. But what we can do is we can be ready. We can be aware of the wiles of the devil. In 2 Peter chapter 2, notice he says in verse 1, there are false prophets among the people and false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. You know, it doesn't say some, and it doesn't say a few. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Who's the way of truth? Christ. You know, if you stand with Him, you're never going to stand alone. If you stand with Him and you speak the things of Him that belong to Him, you'll never be wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't suffer some necessities in life, you'll still suffer necessities. What do I mean by that? Well, you'll have conflicts, you'll have disappointments, you'll have sorrow. Those are just part of life. You'll have those. But He'll never leave you or abandon you and not give you a way to get through them. He'll be there with you all the time. Verse 3, And through covetousness, oh, now here's their works. Covetousness, well, that's the second part of their work. The first part was they denied the Lord. The second thing is that through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Always comes back to the money. Follow the money. Follow the money. Notice it goes on, whose judgment now for a long time lingers not, and their destruction slumbers not. Well, that's a picture of these angels of light transformed like their leader, Satan. Come on back to Colossians. So my first resolution of the year is to not be beguiled. Don't be beguiled. What I want to do is I want to be a good Berean. Remember when Paul in Acts chapter 17 got kicked out of Thessalonica? They didn't like him because he was too successful. He wasn't doing it according to the tradition of the Jewish leaders in Thessalonica. And they sent him, and Silas, they sent him to Berea. And the Bereans were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Not by anything other than the fact that they received the Word of God with what, you remember that word? Readiness. And they searched the Scriptures, yeah, to see if the things that they were taught were so daily. Every day. Every day. Now, so you got this great idea to bring in the new year and start by reading the Bible through in a year. I want to know if you've done it. I went to a church in Washington about, gosh, when did we go up there? We went up there about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. I need to take more brain pills, Amy. I can't remember when I went up to see Isaac. But it's been the last 2 or 3 months. And we went to a church there, and the pastor was talking about how many people had finished the course. And the course they were in was reading the Bible through in a year. And several people raised their hand. But the pastor went on to say, oh, man, now that was a job. I want to applaud everybody that's out there in the audience and the congregation that's done that, because you have accomplished something very few people have ever accomplished. Yeah, because most people quit. It's the hardest thing in the world to have to do. But when you do it because you love it and you want to do it, you'll do it day in and day out like the Bereans. You'll search the Scriptures to see if things are so. You're just not on a task trying to accomplish something for human benefit, satisfying of the soul, or as Paul writes in the latter part of this book, the satisfying of the flesh. Be a good Berean. Don't be beguiled. Don't be deceived. And the only way you can avoid that is to search the Scriptures daily. Verse 5, I'm back in Colossians chapter 2. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. They already had the order. It was an orderly arrangement of their life in the things that they did. They didn't get out of that order, and they were steadfast in that which God had given them to do, and that's what made Paul joyful. Notice again, I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the Spirit, and I'm joyful, and I'm beholding your order and what? Steadfastness. Steadfastness. That's that stability. That's things that you do have been confirmed, and you don't move away from doing them and doing them and doing them and doing them. You keep doing them. What is it about the man who continues to do something and it's wrong? You ever done that? On a computer? You keep clicking, 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 clicking. Nothing happens. Click, click, click. If it didn't happen the first time on a computer, it ain't going to happen. What an idiot I am when I do that. And then finally I stop and I just go, okay, now let's stop a minute. Let's don't go back to, clicking. Raising your voice. Doing something dumb. Being forgetful. But notice the order and the steadfastness is in who? Christ. Yeah. Your faith in Christ. Your faith in Christ. You know how come you can put so much faith in Him? Look at verse 2. I mean, verse 3 of that. It's in Him that are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can put your faith in Him. And notice in verse 6, in Him we're to walk. As you have therefore received Christ the Lord, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. We walk in Him. We are, next verse, rooted in Him. We are built up in Him. And our faith is established, what? In Him. And notice verse 10. We are what? Complete in Him. Christ. Not anything else. Not the daily devotional. Not the daily headlines. Not the radio or the TV. Not Madison Avenue and what they try to sell us. It's in Him. We don't see that very often. We're always trying to puff up the natural man. The natural man needs to know more detail about this thing or that thing. What is more important than that? Because I'm not saying that's not important. In your business or at home or in your affairs, you need to know things. But more important than that is to know Christ. Well, I know Him as your Savior. Right. Okay, great. But why the admonition not to be children? We see, once we're taught the basic principles, the elements, the elementary things, the rudiments of life, we need to begin to build on those, and Christ will continue to build on those and teach us the things that belong to Him. The Spirit will take the things of Christ. We see that in verse 8. This is my second New Year's resolution. I don't want a number one. I don't want to be beguiled. I don't want to be the type of person who falls for the dumb things that cause for mistakes and error. I don't want to be a part of the enemy's camp. I don't want to be involved in false doctrine. And that's what comes up in verse 8. I don't want to be a person who's spoiled. I don't want to be somebody else's booty. That's what that is. That's something. Did I write that down? If I didn't, I'm going to have to pull it out of my brain. Oh, I did write it down. Good. Plunder taken by an enemy in the time of war. That's what that word spoil. It's to rob you, but it's really for you to be taken. It's you to be robbed. It's you to be taken as plunder. Well, who would do that? We were talking this morning, Chris and I, about, these guys on the internet have these marvelous plans of how to deceive you. You get this thing from PayPal or Amazon or eBay, and it says, you know, we've got a situation with your account. We want to correct it. Would you please click on this link and give us your PIN number and give us your account name, and we'll take care of all of your problems. Yeah, as they suck all your money. People do that. But they're so deceptive. They plunder. That's in a physical realm. They do it in a spiritual realm. The devil does it. There's a war going on, and we need to not be ignorant of the fact that there's a war going on, and we need not to be ignorant of the devices of the devil. Well, tell me what they are so I can just write them down, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm not going to do that again. You're as different from me as I am from you, and as different as you can be from the next person. There's not two of you alike. So all of these devices that happen to me aren't the same when they happen to you. See, your response to them is unique. God made you unique. I could sit here and tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, and you'd go right out the door, and the first thing that hits you, you would fail on, because you would try to do it in the wisdom of Derek and not the wisdom of God. That gives you a hint of where to look for it. You look for it in this book. One thing that I keep working on, and it's not God's problem, it's my problem. God taught me Proverbs 15:1, a soft word turns away wrath. I'm still working on that. still working on that. I've seen it successful so many times, I can't imagine. I don't remember those other times. But this is New Year's resolution number two. Beware lest any man spoil you through false doctrines. That's all that we're philosophy. That's the wisdom of man. Vain deceit. That's what that is. That's just vain deceit. We fool ourselves thinking we're so smart. I had a lady one time tell me how to raise kids that never had a kid. It's vain deceit. And I'm serious. That's my way of looking at it. You may have another way of looking at it, but it's the wisdom of men and it's vain deceit. It replaces the wisdom of God. And notice the next thing that's a false doctrine. It's the traditions of men. Our Lord said in Matthew 15, He said, by your traditions, you've made the Word of God of no effect. By the traditions of men, you've made the Word of God of no effect. And the third one, after the rudiments of the world. Don't let anybody spoil you. This is an interesting word. You want to see it in another place? Go over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians, right after 2 Corinthians, right before Ephesians. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 9. Galatians 4, verse 9. Okay, remember the word? Rudiments. That's the word. Rudiments. Mac used to call it the ABCs. All right, here we are, verse 9. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements unto which you desire again to be in bondage. See that word elements? See elementary things. ABCs. Elementary things. But let's put it in its proper context, okay? We're not talking about natural things. We're talking about spiritual things. This passage is dealing with spiritual things. Look over at Hebrews. You'll see another picture of it. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll see the same word translated a different way. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12 says, for when the time... Let's back up to verse 11. Now, speaking of Christ, and this is speaking of Him after the order of Melchizedek, the high priest and His relationship to Israel. Now, see, we don't pay attention to that because to us, He's not priest. To Israel, He's a priest and a king. And He's after the order of Melchizedek, which encompasses both priest and king. To us, He's head. We'll see that in just a minute. But to Israel, it says, now of Christ, or after this order, this priesthood, we have many things to say, and it's hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles, that's the rudiments, that's the elements, that's the ABCs, the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat. Not solid food. That's that same word. Come back to Colossians. Don't let people spoil you who have no understanding of the first principles and the purpose of them. These are false doctrines. They're out there today. God's given us a heavenly calling in Christ, in which Christ is not known to us as king. He's head. He's ahead. And see in verse 8, the last thing is, beware lest any man spoil you after these things and not after Christ. If you're going to be spoiled, if you're going to be someone's plunder, be Christ's plunder. I love that passage over in 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, unmovable. There, steadfastness was the joy that Paul had with these folks. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you know that your work in the Lord is not in vain. Not in vain. Verse 9. This is why you want to be in Him. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a tremendous... I mean, in Him, who? Christ. Look at chapter 1, verse 15. Who is He? He's the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. he moved out of spirit realm and took on creature. Why? Notice he was the firstborn of all creation. He took on creature form. Why? Verse 16, so that in him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All these things were created by him and for him. That's before he ever became a babe on earth. I love the Christmas time. I love the celebration of the fact that of what Christmas means, which is God loves you. That's what it means. God sent his son. In the fullness of times, God sent his son. God became a man, even the Son of Man, so that we might become the Son of God, the sons of God. You know, he died on the cross so that we might live with him. That's the amazing thing about Christmas. That's what that's all about. It's not about the birth. I mean, that just talks about the guy that made, not the guy, he who made the heavens and the earth. But the important thing is he was born a babe on earth so that he could demonstrate the life that we should live. That life led all the way to the obedience of the cross and his death. God loves us. That's the amazing thing about Christmas. In him. Come back to in him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. In him. Who? The one who's the image. What? All the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Not only does all the fullness of the Godhead, one guy said that he is every bit God the Spirit. He is every bit God the Father as he is God the Son, because he is God. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him when in bodily form. In creature form. He didn't, he didn't lose any part of who he was the whole time. And he was the firstborn of all creation. He became a creature so that he could create what? Things in heaven, things in earth, things visible, things invisible, all these principalities, all these powers, all these thrones. And we haven't even gotten to what he's done for us, the church. And the church, as he is the fullness of the Godhead, the church, the body of Christ, of which he is the head, you and I, we are the fullness of him. What an amazing relationship that we have. It's the same corollary relationship that he has with the Godhead. We are the fullness of him. Now, we don't really enjoy the fullness of what that means right now. And Scripture's clear. He hasn't enjoyed it himself. He's put all things under his feet, but he hasn't brought all things together yet. That's in the fullness of time when he'll gather all things under Christ. The only thing gathered under Christ now is you and you, me, the body. Go over to Ephesians and look at that. Chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians 1, 22. Now he's put all things under his feet. We know that. I mean, he's been raised and seated in the heavenlies far above. All things are under his feet. He has complete control of all things. Whether they're principalities or powers or any of those things, they're all. He's already made a show of them openly, the good and the bad of principalities and powers. He's taking care of that. They're all under his feet, but he hasn't been made the head over all those things. Look at the rest of 22. And God gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church. He is the head over all things to us. But that position of headship over all things that are has not been witnessed yet. That's in the fullness of time. Look back in verse 10 of that same chapter. That in the dispensation, the government of God, that in that time, the economy that God sets up, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, there is that time, the fullness of times, God might gather together in one all things in Christ. Hadn't happened yet. The only thing God's gathered is us, the body, the church of the one body. It's amazing. What a marvelous. In Him. Come back to Ephesians. I mean to Colossians chapter 2. In Him. This is why you should be spoiled after Him. That headship that He has over you. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In verse 10, and you are complete in Him. Now you remember a minute ago we looked and saw that He was the image of the invisible God. He was the firstborn of creation. Well, notice, go back over to chapter 1 of Colossians, and notice in verse 18, He's the head of the body of the church. Okay, got it? Also, He was the beginning of that church. He was the firstborn from the dead of that church. Out of the dead. Why? So that in that church, that body, He might have the preeminence in all things. So not only was He the firstborn of all creation, He's the firstborn of the body of which He is the head of the church. I mean, that's what that says. That's what that teaches. What a marvelous... You think about the relationship that Israel is going to have with Him as priest and king. And they're going to be a nation or a kingdom of priests. That's what's promised to them on this earth. And that's what they're going to enjoy. And that's marvelous. That's wonderful. That's one of those fillings. That's one of those fullnesses that needs to repair a gap or a tear in this purpose of the ages that God has set up. What? That Israel will have a place? You bet. And from that, paradise will be restored here on earth. Paradise was lost. But we have no part of that. There's going to be a heavenly Jerusalem. And the Lamb of God is going to have the preeminence in that. And the children of God that are going to be the inheritors of that. What a marvelous position they're going to have in this heavenly Jerusalem that comes down. In that relationship. But we have no hope in that. We have no place in that. We've been raised and seated with Him far above. Where He is at the right hand of God. Where all principalities and powers... See, that's how complete we are. We are complete. Filled to the full in Him. Now, you can make that personal. And it needs to be personal. Come back to Colossians 2 verse 10. You're complete in Him. Meaning there is nothing that needs to be added to your relationship. You ever tried to do that? Leaves a door open for the devil. What I'm talking about is there. Paul says in Romans, he said, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. You heard that song? Christ alone, there's no guilt anymore in God's people. And we do things that we are in the flesh and humanly we are guilty of. But Christ has forgiven us of that. We need to understand how critical that is. We sometimes allow those things of the world to drag us back and to beat us down and neutralize us in our witness and our walk, neutralize us in our rootedness. And are being built upness. There is no condemnation. Well, does that mean I can just go around and sin? Yeah. I mean, Paul says that. Do I want to? No. No. I don't want to. Children of God should never want to. It grieves the spirit. It brings to the mind, the horrible price that was paid for your sin and mine. I can't imagine. Him who knew no sin became sin. And God's done that. It's done. It's accomplished for the child of God. We are complete in Him. Don't need to add anything to it. We try so hard to do things that are good, or we try to come down the aisle in churches all across America and the world today, and try to be baptized. We try to teach it. We try to sing in the We try to do all kinds of fleshly things, and it's all been done. That's why he said it's finished from the cross. It was done. Nothing I can do to accomplish that. All I want to do now is be obedient like he was and bring honor and glory to him and live my life like that. You're complete in him. Two resolutions. One, don't be beguiled. Don't be deceived. Don't let the subtlety of these things that are at war against you end up robbing you of the joy that God has given to you in the salvation of his Son. And particularly in regard to what God has called the body of Christ to. You and I, to the heavenly realm, and that particularly unique relationship in him. One of these days, this old economy is going to be over. I mean, the mystery. One of these days, people of the mystery, the people of the body of Christ are going to be set aside, and God will begin again with Israel to do the things that he's accomplished here on this earth. I don't know how long that'll take. I know that there's still things that he's got to do that in order to repair the damage that was done when sin entered his creation. And so really kind of what we do is a blip on the screen of the radar. But it is still our responsibility to do it. And I'll leave you with a story. There's a little girl who was blind. And the doctor said, I think we can restore her sight. And the parents said, let's try. And so he operated. And after the operation, days went by. The day finally came when they were to take the gauze off and remove the bandages from her eyes. And they did, and the doctor said, open your eyes. And she opened her eyes. And for the first time, she saw the doctor. First time in her life, she saw her dad. She saw her mom. She saw the nurses. She saw the things around the room. And she got up and she ran to the window and she looked outside. And she didn't just see the sky. She saw the blue sky. She didn't just see the grass. She saw the green grass. She looked back to her mom and said, Mom, why didn't you tell me about the sky? Why didn't you tell me about the green grass? And her mom said, Honey, I tried. But you just have to see it for yourself. You are complete. You're complete in him. And it's, I can't explain that to you. I can't. It just is. And it's just something you have to see for yourself. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for making us whole. We do thank you for giving us a new nature that keeps us in touch with you and makes us realize that we're your children and you have a marvelous plan for us. I pray for everyone here this morning. I pray for the end of this year for them, that there be sorrow, that they seek comfort in you. If there be pain, they seek healing from you. If there be anything, Lord, that needs your attention. I pray for the new year. I pray that we not put much stock in ourselves, but put everything in you for this new year. I pray that our resolutions be ones that glorify you and not satisfying the flesh. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be faithful to it. And that I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson
or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.